Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight, and I pray you would help us, Lord, every day of this coming week to be watching for your return and so living as if you could come at any moment. I pray the Holy Spirit now would have his way in each of our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give and what? Answer. To give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. I've been asked before about the new American Standard Version, about what are the mistakes in it, and I was just recently asked again, so I thought it's time that we look at that translation. So we're going to look at the New American Standard Version of the Bible and see where it errs there. When I was in Bible college, I would say that most of the professors told us the most accurate translation of the Bible out there is the New American Standard. When I go back and think about these different professors, they would say, oh, the most accurate out there is the New American Standard. That's what they were taught, and that's what they taught us. Whether they ever actually checked that out, I don't know. You know, it's just kind of something that's passed down. Does anyone ever check it out? I don't know. It kind of reminds me of the healthcare bill. They were saying something about, I don't know, some pre-existing conditions were covered. Well, then they passed the bill, and then they was reading through it, and they found out that part got left out. So they had to amend it. And I think so many times preachers just parrot what they hear in school and never check it out. And I think that's the case with this New American Standard Version. They never check it out, whether it really is. So let me give you just a little history of it's the NASV. They get all these abbreviations, letters, but that's just for the sake of time, NASV, New American Standard Version. Okay, it says, as the name implies, the New American Standard Bible is a revision of the American Standard Version of 1901. The publication of the New American Standard Bible began with the Gospel of John in 1960. That is an interesting year. You know what else is interesting about that year? The New World Translation, the Jehovah's Witness translation. Funny thing, come out the same year. That was the Gospel of John. And then the four accounts of the Gospel in 1962, we're talking now about the New American Standard Version. The entire New Testament was finished in 1963. Remember anything about prayer back in those days? Did anything good come out of the 60s? I apologize if you were born in the 60s. I didn't mean it that way. But I mean, other than that, did anything good come out of the 1960s? I mean, it was the rebel generation. And it's a lot that generation that's in charge of this country. Churches, institutions, we're in such a mess. We should have never let the previous generation hand off anything, I think. We're in trouble. So that's 63, the New Testament was finished, and then the entire translation of the entire Bible was finished in 1971. Okay. It was produced by a company of supposedly conservative scholars, they always say that, who wished to provide a literal and conservative revision of the ASV, which is the American Standard Version, as an alternative to the Revised Standard Version, 1952. Some of the even liberals hated the Revised Version, so they bring that up. The New American Standard was often criticized for its awkward and unnatural English. By the way, it was done by the Lachman Foundation. And so that's why they say that they redid it in 1995. So the New American Standard is a revision of the American Standard, the American Standard being done in 1901. So the entire Bible was finished of the New American Standard in 1971. So you're talking 70 years later, this revision was completed. But if you have a computer program that's very new at all, you're going to have a revision of the New American Standard. There was a revision done in 1995. The computer program I have will say NASV 95. And so if you went to a bookstore today to buy a New American Standard, heaven forbid, you'd waste your money on such a thing. But if you were, it would be the revision of the revision. Okay, so it'd be the NASV 95 that was done. And the reason they did that one is because they said that they brought it, they tried to bring it so literal from the Greek and Hebrew, they say that it was the English didn't flow. And they say that's the reason that they updated it in 1995. For many years, the names, the names of the people who did the New American Standard version, the translation, their names were never let out until 1995. Wasn't that strange? If you don't have something to hide, why wouldn't you let it out if people ask, okay, who did the translation work of the New American Standard? They never told until 1995, until a different version was out, and a revision of the version was out. They never let it be known. That sounds fishy to me right there. That information came from BibleResearcher.com. Here's some other information from BibleGateway.com. The New American Standard version update, 1995. They said it's easier to read. Took out Old English these and thous. Well, those make it more accurate, these and thous. It makes it more precise. I think that's one reason why God so greatly has used the King James Bible, because it's the most accurate English that there ever has been. And the newer English, it isn't that accurate. Or they'll just say you instead of these and thous. So they said it's been updated to modern English. And listen to this. They said words and phrases that could be misunderstood due to changes in their meaning during the past 20 years have been updated to current English. 20 years? How many of you are 20 or older? Okay. I mean, in your lifetime, do you think language has just drastically changed enough to need a new translation of the Bible? I realize 20 years ago, if you're 20 years ago, you were using a little different English, you know. I understand that. But, you know, in a few years, you updated, you know. You revised that from I love you, mommy, to I love you, mommy. I understand that. Instead of I like you, it's I like you. So I understand that. 20 years. I thought that was kind of amusing. Oh, yes, it's been 20 years since we've revised the Bible. Yeah, language has changed so much in 20 years. Yeah, we just can't understand it anymore. I thought that was rather amusing. So they also said that they said it's more accurate than ever, the New American Standard translation. It says recent research on the oldest and best Greek manuscripts of the New Testament has been reviewed, and some passages have been updated for even greater fidelity to the original manuscripts. Have we heard that someplace before? Yeah, we've changed the Bible. The reason we've changed the Bible is because some more accurate manuscripts. We changed the Bible to make it closer to the original. If you change the Bible to make it closer to the original, why is it that it's what you have done is further away from what we used 300 years ago? Something fishy about that. And so you know what that means is they don't believe the promise that God has preserved his word. Let's go to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. Psalm 12. As I mentioned this morning, I had Jehovah's Witnesses at our door this week, and never fails. You pin them down, and they're going to say something about the King James Bible. And that's exactly what she did. Pinned her down on the scripture. No wiggle room. If they don't have any wiggle room, they'll fire at the King James Bible then. And that's exactly what they did. And so I took it right here. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are what? Pure words. Pure words. What would happen tonight if, in our time of fellowship, we said, this water is pure that we have for you tonight. It's pure. It's only got one drop of arsenic in. Other than that, it's pure. Would you drink it? Pure is pure. If there's arsenic in it, it's not pure. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt what? Keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt what? Preserve them from this generation forever. So it said, thou shalt keep them, O who? Lord. It doesn't depend upon man. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So when they made this statement that they're updating their translation to give it greater fidelity to the original manuscripts, what they're doing is they're leaving an open-ended statement. They're saying, whenever we deem so needed, we can update what you have. We can bring something else before you and call it better, more accurate. What I told those Jehovah's Witness ladies was, because they asked me, how can you be so sure that the King James Bible is it, the preserved Word of God? So I was telling them. And I just gave him one example. I said, you know what? Ask anyone if the copy of the Bible they have in their hands, if they believe it is the pure Word of God without error. And you won't find any group that'll do that except those who have the King James Bible and who believe God's promises. They're the only ones that'll say that. If you ever find a preacher that uses the NIV or the New King James that would say, I believe I have the pure Word of God without error in my hands, I'd like to meet that one, because I don't think you ever will. Because why they've accepted something different is because they believe it needs to be improved. You know, that's how they sell a lot of products in the store. It'll say new and improved, you know. They'll put something on it, new. You know, they may change it 0.001, you know. New and improved. The Word of God never changes. So the only justification now they ever need to change the Bible is simply to say, we found something better. We found some information that's better. Well, then that means they did not believe they had the pure Word of God. Well, we believe God over man. So it goes on, the translators represent a variety of denominational backgrounds. That right there will tell you they're going to be off, because when these people, denomination stands for doctrine. It's not just names, it's doctrines. Church of Christ believe in baptismal regeneration. They believe that when you go under that water, that's washing away those sins. That's what they believe. And so if you put a Church of Christ man on that translation committee, he's going to take every opportunity he has to slant the translation to fit his doctrine. And that's the way it is with all of them. So having a wide variety of denominations represented is not a plus factor. Okay, well, let's go to some verses and look at them here. Proverbs 25. How many of you would trust your soul to a weatherman? No. Well, then I wouldn't trust your soul reading the New American Standard. Proverbs 25, verse 23. The north wind, what? Driveth away rain. So doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. The north wind driveth away rain. The New American Standard says the north wind brings forth rain. How is that an update of Old English? It's not. It's an exact opposite. The Bible says the north wind driveth away rain. The New American Standard says the north wind brings rain. Well, you know, I never did do any farming. And I don't get outside as much as I'd like to. But I have noticed when the north wind begins to blow, it's going to drive away the rain. You just watch. It works. That's what it does. We had a question on the website some time ago. It was before we did the studies on the other translations. And I stated the same thing. I said, and it's easy. Just go outside and look. When the north wind begins to blow, it's going to drive the rain away. When the wind comes from the north, the rain is going to stop. It's going to blow it out. And someone wrote in and said, I was pretty naive, you know, to think that the whole world's weather is like West Michigan. And so they were trying to say, well, you know, the Bible is talking about the Holy Land. And in the Holy Land, the north wind brings rain. It doesn't drive it away like West Michigan. And so I began to write some letters and try to find someone in the Holy Land and ended up finding a missionary in Israel. And he said, no, he said, our rain comes from, most generally, the south, southwest. And he said, no, the north wind doesn't bring rain in the Holy Land. And so then I began to do a study on secular sources, secular weather sources. And they said, most generally, when Israel gets rain, it's off the Mediterranean Sea and it's a low pressure. Now remember, Israel doesn't get rain varying like we get it. They have an early rainy season and a latter rainy season. And so they're talking about when the rain comes, it normally comes from a low pressure system out on the Mediterranean Sea that moves on land into Israel. Well, if you've studied weather at all, you know high pressure systems rotate clockwise, high pressure systems. Low pressure systems, it's counterclockwise. So if you pay attention to the weather and they say there's a low or a high, like in Michigan, when we get that rain out of the east, most generally it's a low pressure. And what's happened, it's come either from the southwest or south, and so we'll begin to get rain out of the east. And then, of course, as it passes through, it'll change direction because of the rotation of the rain. And so that matched perfectly. If you can imagine Israel and the Mediterranean Sea, a low-pressure system coming to Israel is rotating counterclockwise, which means the winds are going to hit Israel just like this, south, southwest. That's where the direction their rain is going to come from, because it's a low-pressure system coming in. So the source that's there in Israel and the secular weather source both agreed that Israel will get rain from the south-southwest. It's not to say Israel can't get rain right out of the west or out of the east as well. But it says the north wind driveth away rain. It's listening to one direction that'll drive it away. It's the north wind will drive away the rain. But the New American Standard says it'll bring it. Now, if it was that one verse that was wrong alone, I would reject the New American Standard. If it can't tell me the weather, if I can't depend upon the New American Standard version any more than the weatherman, none of you said you'd trust your soul to a weatherman. Not one. Just think of the millions of dollars of machines they have now. You know, when I was a boy, there was a weatherman. I remember he would draw on like a marker board. He would draw all these fronts, you know, and I just think he had fun up there drawing. He was probably an art major, you know, drawing the funnel clouds and, you know, rain and snow and all this kind of stuff. But you know what? I don't think they were much further off than they are today. With all their satellites today, I don't know if they're any more accurate today than they were. They're just guessing. His Bible is God's promised, preserved word. It's pure. He promised. We trust him. Why are we said to be in the King James only cults? When we believe God, I thought cults followed man, not God's. Well, we believe God, what he has said over man. Why are they calling us a cult? In fact, the New World Translation says the same thing as the New American Standard. The Jehovah's Witness translation says, the wind from the north brings forth, as with labor pains, a downpour. So the New American Standard translators agree with the Jehovah's Witnesses that the north wind brings rain, whereas the Bible says it drives it away. Who's in the cult? Why are they calling us the cult? The NIV agrees with the New World Translation. Why do those people look at us and say, are you part of that King James only cult? Well, okay, let's compare translations. Let's see whose translation agrees most with the cults. You know, notice with me in Isaiah 5. If it's not too late, you might want to hold something there, but maybe it's too late now. Oh, well, it'll give you practice finding it again. Isaiah 5. Isaiah 5. Verse 20. Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In other words, woe unto those that turn things opposite of the truth. So this crowd is saying, you're part of that King James only cult. You're weird fanatics. We place God's word above man. Is that being part of a cult? No. What's being part of a cult is those who put man's word above God's word and follow man. So we're not in a cult. We're just following what the Lord says. Let's go on here. Let me stop and think about this one. So in 1901, the American Standard version was translated. So to 1995 is 94 years to this latest revision. So American Standard to the newest New American Standard is 94 years. Okay. Wouldn't you think somewhere in 94 years there would have been a farmer? That some seminary graduate tried to tell this old farmer that he was dumb and needed to update to the New American Standard version. And don't you think there's a farmer somewhere in 94 years that was fed that bowl of spaghetti and saw that it was wrong in the New American Standard somewhere? That didn't even know the weather? A farmer knows the weather. He knows what the north wind does. He don't have to ask the weatherman. He knows. Makes me wonder, were all those translators so busy that they never got time to go outside and observe the north wind? I don't know. But anyway, you research it out. Well, one last one. Let's go to Proverbs 25, 23 again. Let's just look at the second part of that verse. Because they changed the second part as well. You know what? That's just it. When you compare Scripture with Scripture and someone is corrupting the Word of God, you're going to find it because they're going to have to change other things. So Proverbs 25, 23 says, "The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a what? A backbiting tongue." So it's comparing, like the north wind drives away rain, so an angry countenance drives away a backbiting tongue. It's comparing. They're like. Well, because the New American Standard says the north wind brings rain, what's it going to do with the last part of the verse? Well, it changes that exact opposite too. It says, "and a backbiting tongue, an angry countenance." So it says the north wind's going to bring rain, and it says a backbiting tongue is going to bring an angry countenance. Is that a fact? How many of you have been to the grocery store lately? Okay. What's at the checkout lane? Other than the judge who's going to take your money. A lot of it. And I'm not talking about the candy. What else is there? Magazines. And those magazines specialize in what? Pardon me? Gossip? Anything else? Is that what everyone said? Okay. It's gossip. Is it not backbiting? I mean, are they not getting at all these people? I mean, it's just it's sensational claims. And when is the last time, and I wish this was the case, but when is the last time you saw like a 90-year-old lady pull her cart in the lane, and she looked at those magazines and saw some lie or gossip or backbiting about some movie star or someone, and she just grabbed one of those, just tore it right up and threw it down, and grabbed another one and tore it up, threw it down. I mean, have you ever seen a little old lady look at those magazines and get so angry she just started tearing them to shreds? That would be a nice sight, but I've never seen that happen. But you know what I have seen? I've seen a whole ton of people, while they're waiting to be checked out, look at those, pick it up, and put it in their carts. So the New American Standard is wrong on both accounts. The north wind does not bring rain, and a backbiting tongue most of the time does not bring an angry countenance. Most of the time, people love to hear juicy tidbits about someone else. They just eat it up. Oh, really? Someone did that? Wow. Tell me more. That's their general reaction. So the New American Standard is wrong on both accounts. You see, they changed the first half of the verse, so they had to change the second half. And so they corrupted both things. Both things are not accurate. So the New American Standard claims to be the most accurate translation available. They still are claiming it. They did that 30 years ago when I was in Bible college, and they're still doing that. With this update, the New American Standard 95, that's still their claim. We have the most accurate translation. Well, they don't know anything about the weather, and they don't know anything about grocery lanes, checkout lanes. All they'd have to do, you know, so I think some of those guys are in their study too much. I think they need to get outside and breathe the fresh air and get some common sense back and see what the weather really does and get out in the real world and see what people really do. Because they don't get angry when they hear backbiting. Most of the time, their eyes light up. Tell me more. Tell me more. Okay, well, that's one verse. If it was just that one verse alone in the New American Standard, I'd reject it. It's not accurate. It's very inaccurate. Okay, let's go to another. 1 John 5. 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Remember how we started out this message? We need to have an answer. Okay, you've got one. They claim they are the most accurate translation out there. Well, now you know they're not. They don't even have God getting the weather right. They make God in the same classification as the weathermen. And that's about as low as you can get for accuracy. 1 John 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are what? One. This is what the New American Standard Version says. For there are three that testify. That's it. What did they leave out? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. They left out who testifies there. They left out their names. And they left out that they're one. They left it out. And you know what? The New American Standard. Don't let anyone ever tell you you are part of the King James only cult if they hold to the New American Standard. You tell them they're the one that's closest to the cult because they did exactly what the Jehovah's Witnesses did with that verse. The Jehovah's Witnesses say, in the New World Translation, for there are three witness bearers. The New American Standard agrees exactly with the Jehovah's Witnesses on the weather verse, Proverbs 25:23. The New American Standard agrees exactly with the Jehovah's Witnesses on the most clear verse describing the Trinity in Scripture. Don't let any of those ever call you part of the King James only cult. Give it right back to them. They're the ones that agree with the cults. So as I mentioned last week, the Jehovah's Witnesses came, and what I'm finding now is they normally come up one person. I don't know if you've seen this, but at our house now they only send one up. And so it was a young lady, and she wanted to give me an invitation, and I said, well, no thanks, I wanted to ask you about this verse. So I had my Bible right there, and so let's go once again to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. I want this to become such a well-worn spot in your Bible that when the Jehovah's Witnesses come and you're nervous, you think, where is that verse? Where is that verse that the preacher always talks about? I want you just your Bible to just fall open to that spot because you've been there so many times, okay? And then you'll say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, we went there so often. I don't know where it is, but Lord, help it to fall open in that spot. Isaiah 43, verse 10. So I says, I began to read. I pointed right to the young lady so she could read along. It says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. So I said, this is where you get your name. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. And I says, that word Lord is in small capitals. The word behind that is Jehovah. She agreed. And my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord. That's Jehovah. And beside me there is no Savior. Okay. Before I read those to her, though, I asked her the questions. I said, do you believe that Jesus is the Savior? And she said, yes. I says, do you believe that Jesus is Jehovah? And she says, no. And so that's when I says, well, right here is where you get your name, and I went through these with her. And I says, it says in verse 11 there that I, even I, am the Lord, Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior. I said, the Bible says here, and Jehovah is speaking, he says, beside me there is no Savior. And yet you just told me you believe Jesus is the Savior, but you don't believe he's Jehovah. But right here, Jehovah says he is the Savior, and there's no Savior beside him. And I guess I was talking to her too long, and then an older lady come, middle-aged, but older than she, came up. I said the exact same thing to her. Do you believe Jesus is the Savior? Yes. Do you believe Jesus is Jehovah? No. And I showed her, I let her read it later on. I said, this is where you get your name. Yes. And I says, and I read it to her. I says, Jehovah says he's the only Savior. Beside him, there is no Savior. And yet, you say Jesus is the Savior, but he's not Jehovah. But Jehovah says he is the Savior, and there is no Savior beside him. And she says, do you believe in the Trinity? I said, yes. And she says, where is there any verse that spells that right out? Where you get that from? I mean, besides here. And I says, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, but I says it won't be right in your translation. And so she began to look and she says, What reference was that? I says, 1 John 5, 7. Do you know what that told me? She didn't know where 1 John 5, 7 was. Years ago, every Jehovah's Witness knew where 1 John 5, 7 was. You know why? Because many times Christians would say, I believe in the Trinity and you don't. And they would always, Christians in past years would always go to 1 John 5, 7 to prove it. And so Jehovah's Witnesses, when they are out, all the questions that they are asked, they talk about in their meetings. And that's why they have so many quick, twisted answers, because every problem they face out there, they talk about and they go over and go over and go over. So everyone knows the twisted answer. This middle-aged lady did not know 1 John 5, 7. Do you know what that tells me? It tells me, number one, what's happened because few Christians are using the King James Bible. And all the Christians who are using the New American Standard and the NIV and a host of these other ones, they can't go to 1 John 5, 7 anymore because it's not there. Let's go to 1 John 5. And you know what it tells me? That in their meetings, there is a whole new generation of Jehovah's Witnesses that don't know anything about 1 John 5, 7. Because professing Christians don't even have it in their Bibles anymore. And so the Jehovah's Witnesses don't even feel the need to cover that problem anymore. Because no one even brings it up anymore. Why? Because it's not in their translation. 1 John 5, 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. None of these new translations have anything in there after heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. It's all gone. What an eye-opener. What an eye-opener that was to me. That the Jehovah's Witnesses don't even have to worry about. Is it any wonder that there's more Jehovah's Witnesses now than ever before? Have you noticed all the new Jehovah's Witness halls there are all over? Have you ever been out east of town by this one and seen all the cars that are there days during the week? They're going out. The Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, it used to be, it seems like they were older people that came to your door. I don't know if you've had many Jehovah's Witnesses at your door, but I have noticed a lot of them now are young. The first young lady that came to the door, I don't know, I would guess they're maybe like 20-ish. And the second one came, I don't know, maybe 30s early 40s. She wasn't very old. A whole new generation of young people that have been deceived. What would have I have said to that young lady if I used the New American Standard? What my professors told me was the most accurate translation out there. What if I would have believed them? And what if that young lady, or actually that was the older of the two, but what if she would have said to me, what verse in Scripture really spells that out, your belief, the Trinity? What if I didn't have 1 John 5:7 there? You know, I'm convinced that's why a lot of Christians that are from churches with those new translations are not interested in going out door to door and are not interested in engaging the Jehovah's Witness in a discussion because their ammunition's been taken away. You have one of those new translations, it's like pulling out your gun and every third shell is the only one with a bullet. The rest of them are blanks. Go to 1 John 5:7 in the New American Standard. Somebody took the bullet away. They took out Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. They took it away, so don't let anyone ever tell you that the New American Standard is the most accurate translation. You know right now, Proverbs 25:23, they don't even have the weather right. They don't have the grocery checkout lane right. And they don't have, they took away the clearest verse on the Trinity. They took it away. They took all the ammunition away. That's not accuracy. Well, that's conspiracy. The devil's conspiracy. To take away from the doctrines of the Scripture. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray you'd help us to stand, and having done all to stand. Lord, we hear these people say we're part of the King James only cult. Well, Lord, we're not ashamed of your word. And when we really look what they have done to the word, we see that they are wolves in sheep's clothing. They did not update the word of God. They corrupted the word of God. So, Lord, please help us. Help us, Lord, to have an answer for these people who try to belittle us, criticize us. Help us, Lord. May the Holy Spirit help us to remember these verses and what they have done. And Lord, help us to write these things in the front and back of our Bible someplace where we can show them just what they have done. So Lord, have your way in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.